renewal and inspiration in any life endeavor. Every follower of Jesus is sent out by Him to make disciples. But if you forget Jesus sent you, you wonder if it's worth it. Because if you're going to work effectively for Christ over the long haul, you've got to remember you are sent by Christ Himself. This was not your idea. But the second principle for effective Christian service surfaces then in verses 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. The second tip that'll keep you going well for Christ, number 2, we have a central objective, seek the lost. We have a central objective, seek the lost. And the church needs to work hard to keep the main thing the main thing. We have a central, this is central in why we were called by Him. This is central in what we are to do. Go to the lost sheep, these verses say, and preach. So we have a central objective to seek the lost. The Bible says that all people are like sheep who have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, Isaiah 53:6. And we are lost in darkness, unable to find our way without God, unless somebody shares the faith with us. And Jesus loves people more than anything. He took an old rugged cross and died to save us all. So we have a clear, central objective to seek the lost. Jesus gives His people central, specific objectives for service and ministry. And the effective Christian and his church will maintain this central objective, namely, the redemption of the world through faith in Christ. Luke chapter 15, Jesus told 3 parables about 3 things that were lost, remember? One man had 100 sheep, lost one, left the 99, and went out and sought the lost sheep until finally he found it and celebrated with his friends. The second story of Luke 15, Jesus told, a woman had 10 coins, lost one, moved everything out of her house and swept and cleaned and cleared until eventually she found the lost coin and called her friends to celebrate with her because that which was lost had been found. And finally, the last story in Luke 15, a father had 2 sons, lost one. Remember the prodigal went away? And that father sat on his doorstep and watched and waited until someday eventually that lost son came home and the father celebrated with the fatted calf when he came. Yes, we have a central objective, seek the lost. The third principle, though, for effective Christian service that'll keep you going for the Lord, surfaces in verses 7 and 8. As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. The third thing you've got to remember to keep going well for Christ, number 3, we have a clear responsibility, preach Christ's kingdom. We have a clear responsibility, preach Christ's kingdom. We live in a dark and dying world, and we have a clear responsibility. Preach the message, help the needy, give freely. This is every disciple's clear responsibility. Now, some people read verse 8 and debate whether or not some of these things were just for the original 12 and their so-called apostolic age, or if perhaps they're for all of us today. I think that's fair to study that. I've never thought that God called me to raise the dead. But that debate is to miss the point of verse 8. The point of verse 8 is who is to be helped. And is it not the sick, the downtrodden, and the needy of every sort? And don't miss how we are to help them. Preach the message, help the needy, give freely. Freely you have received, freely give. The effective disciple knows that all he possesses has been freely received from God. So he freely gives, even as his heavenly Father. So we have this clear responsibility, preach Christ's kingdom. The fourth principle that helps an effective Christian over the long haul surfaces then in verses 8 through 10. Look in the middle of verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. The worker is worth his keep. Now, these verses would require a lot of faith. Because, you know, when you're getting ready to go somewhere, you pack up all your stuff and take it with you because you never know what might come up. Jesus says, no, when you go, you're just going to have to trust me. Where I guide, I provide. That's what he's saying. What's the fourth tip here that keeps us going well? Number 4, we have a confident faith. God is faithful. We have a confident faith. God is faithful. That's one of His names in the Old Testament. The God who is faithful. Jehovah Jireh. Remember when Abraham went up on top Mount Moriah with his only son Isaac for the sacrifice? And Isaac said, "Father, here is the wood and here is the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And wise old Abraham said to his son Isaac, "God will provide." Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. That's His name. He is the God who provides. And if you're going to be an effective disciple for Christ very long, you're going to have to believe that God provides for you and not live in doubt and worry all the time. Or you'll be all bound up and you won't be able to be effective for Him. You won't be able to sleep at night. Where God guides, He provides. God is faithful. God is able. God is dependable. God never fails His own. Like the psalmist said, "I have been young and I have been old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." We have a confident faith, and our faith is not in ourselves, and our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in God, the God who is faithful. Effective disciples are confident that as we take care of God's business, what? He will take care of our business. And He could take better care of our business than we could have anyway. The last part of verse 10 introduces this New Testament principle, the worker is worth his keep. This original idea was God's. 1 Corinthians 9:14, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Trust the Lord, and He will honor your confident faith. God is faithful every time. His batting average is 1,000. He's never failed His own, and you will not be the first one. He will not fail you. When you believe that, you keep serving well for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you doubt it or lose sight of it, you may not think it's worth it to serve Him any longer. But there is a fifth principle for effective Christian service, and it surfaces nicely from verse 11. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay. Stay at his house until you leave. The fifth tip to keep you effective, number 5, we have a settled commitment. Stay satisfied in Christ. We have a settled commitment. Stay satisfied in Christ. Now, probably the key word in verse 11 is the word stay. It's a little bitty short word right there in the middle of the verse. And the key word to understanding verse 11 is that word stay. Maybe you'd want to underline it or circle it in your Bible. We have a settled commitment and we are told to stay satisfied in Christ. Sometimes now God calls us to go. But more often, He calls us to stay. In verse 11, disciples were to find a proper place and stay there, satisfied, until the work was finished. And this fifth principle of the settled commitment requires intentional effort and humble satisfaction. Humble satisfaction with where you are and what you have and how you serve. God's calling you to stay. Satisfied with where you are and what you have and how you serve. Verse 11, stay satisfied in the Lord with where you are and what you have and how you serve. If you don't, you won't be very effective for Christ. Think about it in chapter 10. Could you imagine those first disciples in verse 11 if they did not stay satisfied? They got to a town and they settled in this house. And then after they were in that town a little bit, they saw a bigger house. They said, "Well, I'm not going to stay in this little bitty house. I want to go down here to this big house." And then after they'd been in that big house for a little bit, then they discovered another house had a big swimming pool behind it. And their big house didn't have a big swimming pool behind it because now they're going to have to move somewhere else. Well, that's going to cause all kinds of tension and trouble. They'd always be wanting something better. They'd always be comparing where they served to somewhere else. They'd always be hoping for a bigger this and a better that and a newer one of those. And they'd always be looking for newer. They wouldn't be very effective, always dissatisfied. So that key word in verse 11 is stay. Stay put and work hard. Now, don't get me wrong. If the Lord is calling you elsewhere, please go now. But if He is not, stay satisfied in the Lord with where you are, with the family that He's given you, with the church that He's given you, with the job that He's giving you. Are you willing to work hard for Christ, joyfully, wholeheartedly, where you are until Christ calls you elsewhere? Even if it means staying put a long, long time, serving in the same way. Maybe teaching the same Sunday school class. Maybe living in the same town or keeping the same ministry at the same church, at the same task for the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory. Staying put means a commitment to faithfulness and excellence in this present moment. Staying put shifts the focus from the next opportunity to the current one. Staying put shifts my focus from uncertainty to service, from personal gain to personal contribution. And staying put leads to increased trust and increased responsibility. I read a recent Gallup poll that says that only 29% of millennials are engaged at work, meaning only 3 out of 10 are emotionally and behaviorally connected to what's going on in their workplace. 55% are not engaged or focused because they're always looking for the next thing. I used to work with a guy who always sent out his resume all the time, everywhere. He sent enough resumes that a forest of trees probably had to be replanted. I couldn't understand it. I haven't sent out a resume for 33 years. Why would you send out a resume if God's calling you to stay right where you are? You see, if you're looking, thinking the grass will be greener somewhere else, you might be making a serious mistake, and it's robbing you of present peace, and it's robbing you of giving your best and your excellence. There'll be no focus, no excellence, and no faithfulness. Now, like I said earlier, if God has called you elsewhere, please feel free to go now. But if He is not, stay satisfied in the Lord. That's the fifth principle, and it will keep you effective, and you will enjoy satisfaction and peace in Jesus' name. Principle number 5 for effective Christian service. We have a settled commitment. Stay satisfied in Christ. But there's a sixth principle for effectively serving Christ, and it surfaces now in verses 12 and 13. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. The sixth tip to keep you effective for Christ, number 6, we concentrate on the receptive. We concentrate on the receptive. People who are receptive in the Lord, people who are open to a person's ministry, we concentrate on the receptive. Somebody said, God only feeds the hungry. A lot of truth in that. You say, well, I'm just not being fed. Hey, listen, God only feeds the hungry. Verse 13, the deserving people in verse 13, are the ones who are hungry. The deserving are those who appreciate the disciples' witness and work. When God sees hearts that are receptive to His disciples, God calls those hearts deserving. By the way, that's His word and not mine. I wouldn't even have used that word, deserving, to decide that some hearts are deserving and some hearts are not deserving. That's not my word. That's the Bible's word. It means people who appreciate your ministry, concentrate on them. Because time and energy is limited. Because the receptive are the most likely to believe and be discipled. Because some appreciate your efforts. Because soft-hearted people bring joy to God and joy to the disciple. Concentrate on the receptive. It keeps you effective for Christ. But likewise, and counterintuitively, there is a seventh and final principle for serving Christ. And it may be somewhat troubling upon first glance, and it surfaces in the last couple verses. Pick up again in verse 13. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Here's maybe one of the most important tips, seventh and finally, if you're going to serve well over the long haul for the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, number 7, we intentionally overlook poor treatment. We intentionally overlook poor treatment. That's what Jesus was saying to His disciples. Intentionally overlook poor treatment. Now, I know when you do it, people think you're being naive or they'll think you're thick. They'll think, man, doesn't she get what they just did to her? And look at her. She's forgiven them and going on with them anyway. No, that's what Jesus said to do. Intentionally overlook poor treatment. Don't get distracted by people who treat you poorly. There will be opposition to your faithful Christian life. This is where your settled commitment saves you. This is where your focus on the receptive carries you. This is where your commitment to stay. Remember verse 11? Stay. Stay where God has called you. It's not about how you get treated there. If He's called you to be there, that's where you should be. 1 Samuel 17:30, young David had gone up to fight the giant Goliath because everyone else was scared to fight the giant. When he arrived, David's older brother treated David terribly, saying, "What did you come up here for? Just to be nosy and to see what's going on?" 1 Samuel 17:30 says, David turned away and fought the giant anyway. Man, everybody was glad he did. David didn't listen to that criticism from his brother. David simply rejected the ridicule of the contemptuous, and so can you. I know words might sting, especially if they come from your brother, like in David's experience. But get this, the Bible says, quote, "But David turned away and fought the giant anyway." And this is what makes a disciple for Christ effective. You'll be treated poorly, so what? You're following one who carried a cross. Did you really think it was going to go easy for you? Didn't someone tell you up front that following Jesus would not fit into the world system? He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And they nailed Him to a tree, and you're going to follow Him? Oh, friend, is the servant above the master? Is the student above the teacher? So you and I, we have to be careful that we intentionally overlook poor treatment. Seven timeless principles for effectively serving Christ. That's a lot of Bible study today. And if I'm going to preach as few minutes as my co-workers and stay in that time frame, then I'm going to just have to move on to some practical application here. What are the take-homes? What are the points of practical application? May I submit to you today that there are 5 points of practical application from all this Bible study that would serve you well this week. The first take-home from all this Bible study, number one from verse 8a, meet needs. Meet needs. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Christ teaches us to meet needs, physical needs, social, mental needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs of the people we're ministering to. Effective disciples meet needs. Now, does that describe you? Are you meeting needs of the brothers and sisters? You see, people never care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we need to start right where we are right now, sowing seeds of kindness, lending a helping hand, coming alongside each other, being present, being a blessing, meeting needs. Are you a need meter? Jesus is calling you to meet needs. But there's a second point of practical application from this Bible study. Number two, freely give. Freely give. Verse 8b, freely you have received, freely give. These words are from Jesus' own lips. These words are from the New Testament. For God so loved the world, He gave. God is by nature a giver and not a taker. And as we follow Christ, God changes us from takers to givers. We don't need to cling tightly to what we possess here. Acts 4:34, the new church had just been born. And we read in Acts 4:34, from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, they were either crazy or they were disciples. I'm going to go with disciples. Freely give. The third point of practical application from verses 9 and 10, number 3, trust God for support. Trust God for support. Where God guides, He provides. Wherever God's guiding you, if you're willing to follow, you can trust just as He guided, He will also provide. Verse 9, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. I don't know about you, but I'd be tempted to sneak like a gold coin in case I get hungry tomorrow. Wouldn't you? I don't know about you, but I'd be tempted to maybe see if I couldn't hide some pieces of silver in my belt just in case I needed a good place to take a shower and a soft pillow next week. Jesus said, no, you're going to have to live by faith. He said, you're going to have to trust God for support. Travel lightly through this life and trust God for support. Philippians 4:19, God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. So, effective disciples trust God for support. I'm not always that good with that. We need to trust Him more. But the fourth point of practical application from our Bible study, number 4, leave the results with God. Leave the results with God. A couple months ago, my workload was pretty heavy, and I texted my son and said, now remind me, why do I keep trying to do all this? And he responded immediately saying, because Jesus called you and sent you. Now shut up and get back at it. And you know, that was pretty good advice. And I knew I could depend on him for the right answer. Leave the results with God. An interviewer went to Mother Teresa of Calcutta, working with the poor, the blind, and the dying. And remember, the interviewer said, do you consider yourself to be a success? And Mother Teresa said, what's that again? And he said, do you consider yourself to be a success? And she said, oh, God has not called me to be successful. He's called me to be faithful. You know what? God hadn't called any of you to be successful. He's called every one of you to be faithful. You see the difference? Mother Teresa understood the difference. And from the outside looking in, she didn't look like much. There she was in those gutters and those slums with those blind people, the poor and the dying. God never once called her to be successful, but He always called her and all of us to be faithful. Leave the results with God. It's a good thing Old Testament Noah did not measure his success by the number of people who repented and boarded the ark. It's a good thing the prophets did not measure their service by the number of kings or priests or cities they turned around. It's a good thing that Jesus' disciples did not judge themselves based on the visible results of their ministries. All of these knew to leave the results with God. Effective disciples today will leave the results with God. Maybe on that note you would make a note of 1 Corinthians 4:3, where the Apostle Paul said, "I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself." Yeah, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:3, "I do not even judge myself." Another translation says, "I don't even ask myself questions." And what Paul meant by that is, don't question your life's impact. Once in a while, you know, when we're tired, we say, "Lord, is my life really counting for anything anyway? Because if it is, I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't think I'm making any difference." And the Apostle Paul said, "I don't even judge myself." And what he meant was, you'll never be able to see your life's impact this side of heaven. You're going to have to let God be the judge of that. You can't see how much difference you've made. You can't see how many lives you've touched. You can't see what the world would have been like had you never been there. Instead, you're going to have to leave that to the appraisal of the One who sees and knows it all. And you will only know the full impact of your life after you arrive on heaven's golden shore. And one day then, it will be revealed to you. In the meantime, unless you're going to get discouraged, in the meantime, you've got to leave the results with God. He'll judge the impact of your life. He'll judge how many lives you touched or how well you lived or what a difference you made. You can't see it. I can't see it. We can't know it. So we leave the results with God. Listen, a wise disciple leaves the results with God, or he gets discouraged and decides it just isn't worth it to keep going. But there's a fifth and final take home from today's Bible study from verse 7, number 5. Deliver the message. Deliver the message. Our job is to deliver the message of the gospel and not to worry about the results. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, said, "Evangelism is sharing the gospel of Christ in the power of the Spirit and leaving the results with God." Ezekiel 33 says that God has made each of you a watchman on a wall to tell the people the saving message of Jesus. And you must deliver the message and then leave the results with God. Somebody said that an effective disciple just carries the meal from the kitchen and serves it up on the table without messing with any of the ingredients along the way. I like that. Can you picture it? An effective disciple just carries the meal from the table, from the kitchen, serves it up on the table without messing with any of the ingredients along the way. Somebody else said that we are all just beggars showing others the source of bread. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called on today to deliver the message. We are God's delivery, boys and girls. Deliver the message. Timeless principles for effectively serving Christ. Remember who sent you. Seek the lost. Preach Christ's kingdom. Be confident in God. Stay satisfied in Christ. Focus on receptive people. Overlook poor treatment. But discipleship begins when Jesus becomes your Savior. You should come to Him today the way they did in the pages of the New Testament. Follow Him in faith. Come to Him in repentance. Confess His name before others as witness. Be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism and be raised to walk in newness of life. And having done so, make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You for these sacred moments where we study Your Word. We think about spiritual things. We focus on eternity. Oh God, none of us has become the disciple we wish we were. All of us, though, can be on the journey. And it all starts by making Your Son Jesus our Savior. All we like sheep have turned away and gone astray. And we are wandering in darkness and we cannot find our way back to You. So you left the splendor of heaven as a good shepherd for our souls. God, today we want to make You, Your Son Jesus, our Savior. We want to make You our Father. We want to make this church our family. We want to make heaven our home. Give us grace to follow You without reservation, even as You call us today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.